Welcome back to Teaching the Unteachables, where we dive into teaching and learning methodologies for professionals like you. Before we start with today's episode, I want to address a common challenge that I've noticed among HVACR professionals. They often struggle to keep up with the advancements in heat pump technologies. That's why here at the ESCO Group, along with the HVACR Learning Network, we have an amazing library of courses to equip you with the essential skills for handling today's inverter-driven heat pumps. And better yet, we're offering free access to the first two chapters of our most popular course on the fundamentals of high-performance heat pumps. Check out the link in the show notes to get your free access.
Most straight air conditioners are only going to have two or three conductors going outside. They either had 18-2 or 18-3. So really to go with a traditional system, you need those five wires. And like I said, Bosch is our 410A product. We had a four-wire 24-volt option to go from the air handler to the outdoor unit. Our new 454B unit allows for us to have a two-wire communication signal on a DC bandwidth to go from our outdoor unit to our indoor unit. We still utilize the technology of a 24-volt thermostat. So we still have a 24-volt standard Bosch thermostat on the wall, communicating with our air handler or furnace.
This episode brought to you by Bosch and the inverter ducted split heat pump lineup. Learn more at BoschHomeComfort.com. All right, everyone. Thank you for joining us once again on Did You Know? The ESCO HVAC Show. Today, we're spending time with Chris Morrissey from Bosch Home Comfort. How are you, my friend?
Just fine. How are you doing, Cliff?
I'm doing great. You know, we had some other of your team members on the show a while back. We're diving into things like the IDS Ultra. We're talking about all sorts of ducted solutions, but there's one solution we haven't really spent a whole lot of time on. And that is like gas packs or package units that's used particularly in residential style applications. I myself was just driving through Spencer, Indiana this last weekend, and I'm driving through town and I look over and I see this home and it's got a brand new package unit with external ductwork on the outside of it. And I go, hadn't even thought about talking about inverter solutions for that kind of a situation. And especially like up in the Northeast, you know, that's still a very popular item that we have. So let's talk a little bit about other solutions for inverter technology besides these traditional split systems that we spent a lot of time talking about.
So I've spent some time in the Mid-Atlantic region as well as Florida in my 30-year career.
Yeah.
And I've seen the challenges that are out there for the contractor as well as the consumer when the options are presented to them. We just went through our big change with refrigerant going from 410A to 454. And the next thing on the horizon is ultimately going to be 80% gas furnaces.
Yeah, they'll be going away in a short time.
So the longer we've been in this trade, the more changes that we see. We see the technology advance, and then we see our application and our opportunities advance in certain areas.
Yeah.
You know, when I look back, 2005 was a big time in our industry going from 10 to 12 SEER. That's when it seemed like people were paying attention to SEER rating efficiencies, windows, what kind of insulation they're going to put in their attic. There was a lot of considerations that we never really took, and that all affects our equipment sizing efficiency and our heating and cooling load. So, yeah, kind of more or less wanted to talk about the applications that are out there where we have gas furnace circuits. So we think about our indoor systems, right? They're split systems, got a gas furnace in a crawl space, attic, interior closet. Then we've got our gas packs that are sitting outside. Don't have too many heat pump package units, but there's a lot of gas packs. That was just a choice by a builder going into a neighborhood, having all gas appliances from your water heaters to cooking with. So usually upstairs, the scenario was a heat pump was already in place. Hot air rises. So in the south, our heating loads are nowhere near what they are in the northern applications. So we get away with heat pumps in second story. So when we think about our circuitry, we have 115 volts that's feeding that gas furnace. So a contractor's looking at how do we put a heat pump in there. So he's got the 115 volt circuit. And as technology advances, so does the equipment that's available out there. He'll have the opportunity to work with a 240 volt circuit. And it'll also have the opportunity to pull a new circuit, to have a circuit that's 240 volts, but can have at least 5 kW for the indoor unit. So they're going to have three different scenarios that's presented to them out there. course, they could go gas for gas, but that's what we're not talking about. That we're trying to talk about how we're eventually going to change to a heat pump application from that gas scenario. Right. So the older the house, the more difficult it is to upgrade your electrical. You've got 125 amp panels out there, and simply going to another circuit, another 30 maybe your threshold where you need a 200 amp circuit. So as our appliances are higher efficiency, it seems like our amp draws go down, and that's everything from washers, dryers, so
radiators, everything.
So we're trying to incorporate that where we've got the advantage to use the circuitry that's in place, but you know, I'm not overthinking it as heat and air guys and bringing electricians in is more or less doing with it what we have. So the best scenario I wanted to talk about is the application of a house where you have a gas pack downstairs and a heat pump upstairs, or even a gas furnace upstairs. So most any gas pack, let's say it's 3 ton and below, it's going to have that 240 volt circuit sitting there for 30 amps, whether it's less or more.
That's just the standard installation practice for them.
Just standard, right? We've got ton and a half, 2 ton, just trying to give us a scenario to talk about.
Absolutely.
So when we have a 3 ton unit, what is the contractor's options, right? So we had 80% gas packs, then we had two stage gas valve gas packs, then we had two-stage compressor gas pack. So we're keep evolving, but I don't know if we're ever going to be able to have a 90% gas pack because of the ability to keep that water from freezing outside.
You betcha.
So what a great application to go from a gas pack, and let's say it is an environment where people are accustomed to that gas heat, 125 plus 30 degree heat. We have the ability to go in with a heat pump inverter package unit. We can cap off the gas line, use that for an outdoor gas grill. Now we have the ability to use that 30 amp circuit for our heat pump. And efficient as the heat pump is, the need for strip heat is very little. We're going to want it to come on in the defrost mode, but the times that it even initiated the defrost cycle is a lot less than it used to be. So there's a great opportunity there.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, when we think about traditionally, if we were looking at a gas pack and we were looking at a replacement, we were never really thinking about a heat pump as an option because of that additional load that we would need for the electric resistive heating. Because typically we were sizing that electric resistive heating to the full heating load, right? Because we knew that that heat pump was not going to be running. A lot of times we were shutting those things off at 40 degrees, especially back in our 22 days, right? And so we were running 100% load on that resistive heating element and or elements. And so we might be needing a 40 or 60 amp service just for the electric side, which we're not going to add that. But now we rethink it and go, okay, I've already got a 220, 30 amp service out there. Why can't I just go with one of these new high efficiency heat pumps? I mean, we've been talking about the efficiency ratings of these new heat pumps for a while, and they're just phenomenal. And so that does bring up a good point, is that now we can look at heat pumps that if they need some backup, they may only need a little bit to compensate for that heating load. Okay, now we're creating a solution where we didn't particularly have one before.
Yeah, not to say that we have a problem. We have that many less choices as we keep changing. And part of the AIM Act moving forward is a reduction in 80% gas furnaces. And don't think there's a specific date, 28, 29.
Yeah, I've heard a lot in that 28. Yeah, especially even with the gas water heaters. A lot of people don't realize we're doing both. We're getting rid of 80% across the line with gas furnaces and water heaters. So we're going to go through some transitions for sure.
Yeah. So same thing. So let's go upstairs. Let's say we have a gas furnace upstairs as well. Let's talk about the IDS system, being able to change out that gas furnace on our options as well. One of the biggest things we've always had with straight AC is how many wires go outside, meaning how many wires communicate from the indoor to the outdoor, not from the thermostat to the air handler or thermostat to the furnace. I mean, from the furnace or air handler to the outdoor unit. You usually need 5 wires to have that operation.
Right. That would be common and all. Yeah.
Yeah. The original Bosch platform, we've only used 4 wires to go outside. Most straight air conditioners are only going to have 2 or 3 conductors going outside. They either had 18-2 or 18-3. So really, to go with a traditional system, you need those 5 wires. And like I said, Bosch is our 410A product. We had a 4-wire 24-volt option to go from the air handler to the outdoor unit. Our new 454B unit allows for us to have a 2-wire communication signal on a DC bandwidth to go from our outdoor unit to our indoor unit. we still utilize the technology of a 24-volt thermostat. So we still have a 24-volt standard Bosch thermostat on the wall, communicating with our air handler or furnace. And now we have the option. They can still use our four-wire legacy setup, which is 24 volts AC.
If they have
if they've got enough wire, odds are, like we're talking about going from gas to heat pump, where they have those two or three conductors, now we have a solution for that. We have the ability for our outdoor heat pump to talk to our air handler, and that's the communication that needs to transfer with the Bosch equipment. We're still legacy from our thermostat to our air handler. So we're excited about 2025 and the products that we have out there and providing solutions.
Yeah, that's definitely a solution. Because when I think about using that legacy thermostat, there are a lot of homeowners that have already got the thermostats that they like or the thermostats that they prefer, or, you know, they've got something they've gotten comfortable with. And, you know, I like to upgrade thermostats on every install, but you do get those customers to go, no, I've got this and I don't want to go away from this. And I really don't want that communicating thermostat, but I want the good equipment.
Yeah, that's right. So we have a great Bosch thermostat, but it's non-communicating. It still functions. It has Wi-Fi capabilities. But just like you said, you can use another manufacturers or other brands that are out there, as long as they're set up the way the Bosch way, the way we want them set up for our minimum run times and other features. But you're 100% right. A homeowner who finally spent the 2 years to learn how to program it and use it from their office at home, we don't want to take that from them. And there again, we have the technology to continue to have 24 volt legacy from our thermostat to our air handler and then communicate on a DC voltage inside to outside. So that split ducted system now has the latest and greatest technology to enhance a heat pump that's already there, or like we're talking about, create a solution where we really are looking into the future.
Yeah. And I do believe we're going to be spending a lot of time looking at all of our heat pump solutions, you know, ways that we can look at traditional systems and go, okay, now's a good time for us to start rethinking the structure. Let's try to encapsulate things a little bit better. You know, let's look at, hopefully your consumer starting to look at energy as their entire home. They're not just looking at one upgrade. They're looking at ways that they can be more aware of their energy use. And so my own son, right? My son's 25. He just bought his first home. And as soon as he gets into it, you know, it's a 40-year-old home. He says, "Hey, Dad, what can we do to make this house more efficient?" I said, "There you go. Now you're investing in your future, right? Yeah. Let's look at the different things, right? So you need to get up there. Let's go up there and take a look at the insulation. Oh, yeah, by the way, we've got 50-year-old insulation in this home, 50-year-old home. It's never been updated. So we're going to have to do a little insulation work. That's something you can do very inexpensively. By the way, there's a 30% rebate on your insulation. So you need to go take advantage of that. Let's look at your windows and doors. There's incentives for all of that as well. Our local energy co-ops have got programs going on. Then we can relook at the load calculation of your home, and hopefully we're going to be reducing the capacity of that sucker, and you're going to be able to go heat pump." Mm-hmm. He's like, "Okay, that sounds great." And so then we go looking at what he already has and then start looking for the solution. So you're really fitting a place where there wasn't a great solution before, but now Bosch is providing a solution for that high-performing heat pump in that gas pack style replacement.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Okay. I'm digging that quite a bit.
Yeah. All right.
All right. So when we think about that as a solution, as a contractor, as a educator, we now can start rethinking about systems that are out in the environment. And we get that call from the consumer. They're starting to look for their high efficiency options. And now we can start providing a variety of solutions. So in the IDS products, I know there's a few different layers in IDS, depending on, you know, how much performance you need. What type of solution are we looking at? Are we looking at like the IDS premium? I can't imagine us going into an IDS ultra in a package just yet. I'm sure one day, but.
Yeah, well, that's right. One day. So essentially a plus and a premium. So our high SEER product is a 19 SEER inverter. And then our entry level inverter would be your 15 and 16 SEER model. So, and then our inverter products come in a 3-ton or a 5-ton. So we don't not have half tons, a ton and a half, a 4-ton. Of course, the systems need to be installed according to the duct system that's there. That's a whole different topic that I see you have with guys about static pressure.
Yeah.
We don't have enough time to talk about that subject with me.
But yeah, because it is critical when we start talking about these inverters in particular.
It's the number one thing that we see as trainers that we all talk about. And I could speak for my coworkers and every trainer out there in all 50 states. It seemed like ductwork and static pressure wasn't a thing with R22. We used to hear the word forgiving. One of the things I contributed to is we didn't need as much airflow, it seemed like. And right. We didn't have all these crazy flex duct systems and duct boards. So as technology changed, it's also hurt us in a way with our duct systems. So we talk about it a lot, making sure that the duct systems can accommodate the inverter product. You know, the old equipment kind of just breaks. Our equipment doesn't just shut down when it's in stressful conditions. It actually continues to back down. It will continue to back down to its lowest setting to try to overcome what's going on before it, you know, initiates a fault code. So it's one of the critical things is duct systems for sure.
It is. And you bring up a great point with the flex duct and the duct board, because I've been getting a lot of pushback from the industry as well. You know, we're talking about doing an equipment replacement. You know, we're not really talking about ductwork replacement. And I go, well, there's a really good reason we need to be spending more time talking about evaluating flex duct and duct board. If we were looking at homes that were built 30 years ago, 40 years ago, very likely they were built all metal, right? Which has a fairly long life expectancy out of it. When we start using products like duct board and flex duct, they have limited lifespans, particularly on spiral bound flex duct. So a very important part of what we're doing when we're evaluating systems is looking at, you know, what is the capability of our ductwork to make sure that what we're going in with is going to be capable of performing. Because the one thing that I worry about the most in our industry is that we do a high performance upgrade, right? We look at an existing, like you said, an existing 80% gas furnace with a straight AC. And we go, you know what? We'd really like to get you into a high performing heat pump. And so we do all the time to do a quality installation without ever turning the blower on the old unit that we're taking out to see what our airflow actually is. Mm-hmm. And so it is critical and it can add cost. But I know as a consumer, if my contractor is upfront with me right in the evaluation period and go, oh, yes, we'd love to talk about what is going to be a good solution for you. We also want to make sure that everything existing that you have is in good standing. Has any of your previous estimates talked to you about the condition of your existing ductwork and the potential that it could cause your new equipment not to perform very well? If you raise that to me, I'm going to listen because I know you're actually investing into it. So as a contractor, it is super important to understand the airflow capabilities of our existing system before we start matching these new ones. And I do love that an inverter has that ability to help protect itself. In return, it is going to potentially reduce its capacity. It's going to do the most efficient run that it can for the capacity that it can allow.
Yep. It's eventually going to turn off. It has limitations like everything else, but nowhere near as hard as regular equipment with low and high pressure switches, the way that they turn compressors off. One of the things I share with contractors in classes I meet them is the most important thing they can do as a service or a salesman is ask questions. Ask the right questions to the homeowner. It's amazing some of the things they'll tell you. Now, they will tell you some lies and tell you they change your filter more than they do. But for the most part, they're going to tell you the problems. They're going to tell you, you know, I don't want brand X again because we've had two fan motors, an evaporator coil, a compressor. No manufacturer makes equipment to fail in that lifespan. And there's the red light. There's the indicator that there is a application problem, whether it's ductwork, refrigeration charge, but there's an application causing those part failures. So it's the most important thing they can ask the homeowner.
Indeed. I used to do some sales classes for our oncoming salespeople when I worked for a distributor, just to try to help them get a better understanding of the HVAC industry and things that they can do to form better communications with their customers. And one of the things I always stress is you could ask two questions and it will start your entire conversation. Ask if they've ever had a heat exchanger failure on their furnace and if they've had a compressor failure on their outdoor unit.
Yeah.
And if you start with either one of those, now you can say, I can tell you why. Has anyone ever told you why?
Uh-huh.
And you have a path that you can go that is going to build confidence. I mean,
that's right.
We're solution providers.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a contractor, a true service guy, he provides solutions. We can treat the symptom. That's putting a Band-Aid on it. You know, we can put new fan motors in there, but let's check the static pressure to see why that fan motor failed and provide that solution. And it may be as simple as adding a new 10-inch duct by a 14 by 14 grill. Just move more air. It's got to breathe.
That's it. Well, fantastic. All right. So I really look forward to seeing this product. I've seen one out in the display mode at a conference that I went to. Really excited to start seeing some of them out in the wild. And I'm really looking forward to hanging out and spending some time talking about trainings and products that Bosch has. We'll be spending some time at the National HVACR Education Conference, learning more about things that Bosch is really doing that's starting to excite the industry. And I'm grateful that we have more solutions coming around. So anything else we want to cover before we hop out of here today?
No, you'll be with two of my colleagues out there. I know, spending some time with you. And you know, maybe next time we get together, as we get into the spring and summertime and in my region of Florida, we could follow back up with some dehumidification. We're going to talk about the new IDS system and our dehumidification capabilities. So
yeah, that'll break some barriers. Okay. Chris Morrissey from Bosch, I sure appreciate you hanging out with us today. I encourage everyone to hop on over to Bosch Home Comfort, learn about ways that Bosch is innovating and assisting the industry in these changes that we are all experiencing. And I look forward to this next conversation.
See you, Cliff.